All right, this isn't an official Sheep Farm release or podcast. This is probably going to be a 0.5 because we're away this week. So I thought I'd release this as a release that's not been released on our platforms as yet. We recorded this when Mark invited us on his show for a podcast on his for his Patreon subscribers. And we promised that we wouldn't release the podcast for a few, good few months. And so here we are now. I've taken the video off this, actually. It was videoed. Reason being is, about halfway through it, Mark's lights went out on his house, so we're in darkness, so it seems a bit pointless showing the recording where it's in darkness. So I've put the image of Chris's drawing of the Space Odyssey chimps on there. Yeah, so that's it. Okay, hope you enjoy it. Bye.
Welcome back to all my Patreon supporters. Having a chat today with a couple of guys whose faces you might not know, but their voices you will. It's those well-known Welshmen.
We know sheep very well, but we're not Welsh.
Yeah. I heard that.
Yeah.
Over to the tell by his basement.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the basement.
Yeah. You've got the gimp up in the back there, chained up.
Yeah. Yeah. A bit quiet tonight, he's a bit tired.
Yeah.
Is that ball in his mouth? I need to take it out.
Yeah.
It is.
I'll have to open the hatch
down on the table there. So, Chris, are you blessing us with a glass of red tonight?
I have got a bottle of Governor this evening. I'm not going to open it just yet. Wait till we get in a little
kind
bit.
Kind of Carlsberg myself tonight.
Oh, nice. Yeah. One of my favourites.
Dom,
actually.
You're on the herbal tea?
Cup of tea.
You are?
It's actually, yeah, cup of tea tonight. Normal tea.
Excellent.
I don't know if we're doing this on video, Matt, but the reason I'm having my house done, so this is why everything looks like a bit of a shambles behind me. That's a painting that my son did for my and my wife's wedding.
Looks like a psychedelic album cover from the late 60s.
It's a picture of me and my missus and the cats. He did it in like a Mayan...
Mr. Bean style.
Kind of style.
Lionel Richie, innit?
Yeah, just Lionel Richie. So that's why I've got all the shambles behind me.
We're trying to keep this one to about 37 and a half hours, so just a quick one tonight, you know?
Yeah.
As we delve into your latest research.
Which one? Juvenile.
So we're doing an event together at the weekend as we record this. It's the first of the events at the Pennine Manor in Huddersfield. So anyone that's going to be along to that, you'll be hearing all the presentations that we'll be unveiling there. And there's another one in July, 5th of July, with John Hamer joining in, that well-known boy band member. So just ahead of the event on Saturday, I just wanted to delve into some of your research and some of the things you've been looking into lately. Brimful of Ashes,
yeah.
To start with, Jane Asher and family, and how that ties into the whole Beatles and Paul McCartney subject. And I'll be unveiling a lot of my research on the Beatles and McCartney. The Beatles are the most fascinating group to talk about, aren't they? I mean, I know Matt Sergiu would agree with us on this, but you could talk about the Rolling Stones, and sure, there's a few interesting sort of talking points there, particularly when you get into the dark occult aspects of it. But the Beatles just endlessly fascinate, never disappoint. There's always synchromistic connections leading off in all sorts of different directions. And they're the group that just keeps on giving when it comes to research of this nature, I find.
I blame Chris. I blame him. Because I was never interested in the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
You're not. I was never interested in looking into the Beatles, yeah.
We told that story, Matt, when we spoke to Mike Williams, was I kept saying to Dom, in fact, I went for a very similar thing with you, Matt. I was saying to Dom, listen to this guy, he's talking about music. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really into music. And then he found you. And then, oh, wow. And then same with Mike with the Beatles stuff. I'm not into Beatles, I said, Dom, I'm not into Beatles. But I've just read a 666-page book about it. And it's a fascinating subject. And then flash forward a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Fucking hell, Chris. And now look where he's done.
Yeah. Mike Williams has been trying to retire from Beatles and McCartney research for probably about 5 or 6 years now.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like these cliched CIA movies where this agent tries to get away from the agency and the phone rings one day. He's out fishing with his grandkids or something and the phone rings and he comes back from the phone with this solemn expression on his face and he says, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Yeah. And it's like that with this research. You can't walk away from it. You can't get out. It keeps pulling you back in.
The point when I told Dom about it was when Mike Williams was, I said, there's this guy and he talks about the Beatles and he's been saying he's not going to do it anymore. And I was just, as he's saying he's doing it, as he's doing another Beatles one. And it was around that period of time, Mark. Yeah, six, 7 years ago.
I said I'd finished Musical Truth on Volume 3.
Yeah.
And here we are.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
The material's there, though. Why? Why would you do
Please
that? I mean,
don't tell me I have to do a five, please.
well, I mean, why not? I don't understand why not. I mean, tonight, right? I don't know why it got it in my head. I think it was you talking to Richard Vobes. You were talking about Elvis. I thought I hadn't looked into Elvis. I got off my training bike, my recumbent bike. I thought I'll have a look at Elvis's genealogy. I had a quick scan, and there you go. It's actually related not just to Indians, but to some of the main chiefs, Indian chiefs.
Was that common knowledge, Dom, that he was related to
I don't
Indians?
know.
I think it was
I've
common
never
knowledge
heard
that
it.
he was half,
Yeah, you're part Indian,
he had
yeah.
some
Yeah,
Native American in him.
yeah, Native American. You can't say Indian now. Yeah, Native American.
Yeah, I think he was half or quarter or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which you can
But so
see.
he's.
We've commented before that there seems to be a lot of damage limitation going on right now, where there are attempts to make this sort of research, this sort of information, these kind of revelations seem nothing special. Like, oh, we're all related to Welsh kings if we go back far enough and medieval warriors or whatever. And I think when I jumped on your show recently, we were saying that's not actually the case. And you would know, Dom, because you're always, shoulder deep in bloody papers and genealogy research and stuff, drowning in it. So, you would know that this is not the sort of thing that you generally find with regular everyday plebs, only seems to come up with public figures.
Yeah, well, a lot of the people I look at and haven't got this genealogy, but if you think of the proportions, if you had a factory of people and 90% of them all had royal bloodlines and a similar lineage, you'd say that's a bit freaky. And if you look at the pop world for as one aspect of the pop industry, and if a large proportion of them have royal genealogy and a small proportion of them haven't, that is freaky, isn't it? To me, that is odd. It's not a
Which
coincidence. It
goes
can't be.
parallel to your everyone's dad's not a plumber,
Yeah.
Mark, to be fair, isn't
I would
it?
love you to report back, Dom, and say, oh, I've been looking into these rock stars and these actors and politicians, and 90% of their dads are plumbers. Do you know that?
Yes.
It's a very strange thing. I would actually welcome that, but.
But if we did say that would be the on the spin, that would be just as
We'd be looking
strange,
into
wouldn't
plumbers, wouldn't
it?
Why are plumbers signs
Yep.
becoming rock stars?
If I came back and said everybody I look into it is a utility worker, you'd say, "Wow, that's a little bit freaky."
I mean, just to get a bit controversial, there's a certain racial group, shall we say, which is represented beyond all proportion and scale in the entertainment industry. They take up all the roles as managers and producers and, putting out artists and stuff, representative of a certain Middle Eastern nation. And people often say, or that they try and make nothing of that as if there's nothing important about it. But I always make the point that if there were that many, let's say, Norwegians, Brazilians,
Yeah.
or I don't know, Kenyans who were running the entertainment industry, surely people would say, why are there so many Norwegians taking up all these prominent roles? But because it's this particular group who you're not supposed to criticize, they sort of fly below the radar and don't tend to get scrutinized for it. But when you look at their proportion in terms of how they're represented in the entertainment industry, it is out of all proportion to their number in general society. So again, that's an anomaly. And if we're going to be sensible and mature about it, we have to recognize that there's a definite pattern emerging there.
Yeah, well, you could say the same in banking, business. I mean, top end business, that is, on the stock market and stuff like that, hedge funds and things like that. It's the same across the board. And for such a small, let's say, community, if, like you say, if they were American Indians, for argument's sake, it would sort of stand out. You'd say, how come every person in Hollywood is an American Indian?
People would want to know why.
Yeah, and you'd be allowed to ask.
But surely that group of folk you're on about, it's also been bastardized, if that's the right word, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
In
It's
what way?
been, well, it's not a race, it's a religion to start with.
Yes, I know what you mean,
And
yeah.
it's been chopped up so you don't really know what's left and right or up and down anymore, which is the way of the
Exactly, it's a misleading
mis
term,
it's a
which
misleading term.
doesn't
Yeah.
have a lot of relevance to what it originally meant.
No.
No.
No,
And
it's been
also,
hijacked, hasn't it?
the power brokers within that group, that religion, are what you class as a totally different group. And they're mistreating the rest of their people, if you like, with the same disdain as everybody else.
Yeah.
It's nice to know you can't get deplatformed from criticising Norwegians.
Yes, maybe that's the way we need to go.
Yet.
Criticise the Nordics.
Aha. Oh, they were bloody awful. Terrible. Yeah, yeah.
The strange thing is that there was a book published, and I'm just trying to find my notes there. I'll try and dig them out. There's a book published by a well-known of that religion. It was a professor, and the only 550 copies were made, and they were given to all the prominent people in America of that religion, so they could, it named everybody, all their genetics. It was a specific genealogical file that was given, and so they knew who they were dealing with.
So they've got Andy PG on this one. He'd love this.
The Rockefellers were in there because they're originally from that religion. It's somehow in the future I'm going to release. But it's actually going to be in my book, that research, because obviously Boris Johnson's dad worked with John D. Rockefeller III. So I actually go into a little detail about that.
So how's the book coming along?
I write a chapter a week. But the chapters are like blooming thousands of words long. So I don't know. I'm probably going to have to cut the chapters into more chapters.
A chapter a day.
Yeah. I haven't got time for a chapter a day. Do you know what? If I had the time and I put stuff down, I could probably write it very quickly because I've got a lot of the words already there because obviously the researchers there just need tidying up into a book format. But But going back to the Beatles, which was the original question, things turn around when you pull away at a thread somewhere and you find something. It had to be something new. It's pointless regurgitating what you guys you've found and what Mike Williams has found and other people, Matt Sergio's found. You need to bring something new to the table. And hopefully, when we sat down and talked to Mike the other week, I think he liked what we brought to the table.
And you thought the McCartney rabbit hole was deep.
Yeah.
Now you've opened up a whole new one.
The Asher rabbit hole is it's probably just as deep.
Rim full of ashes.
Yeah, brim full of ashes.
It's a McCartney Warren now.
Yeah. Like Watership Down.
Yeah.
Minefield.
It is a minefield. I find it interesting, though. I mean, some of it's quite dark when you're getting into Richard Asher. I think we're discovering now that he was working for some very, very, very dark people within the British psychiatry movement who were friends with, this is where mine and Matt's research crossed over. He worked out that he was mentored or trained by a guy called Dr. William Sargent. And
yeah, he was a part of the 60s counterculture sort of psychedelic scene, wasn't he?
Well, William Sargent was friends with Ewan Cameron.
The doctor.
Yeah, and he was sent by the British government to go to America to see what MKUltra was and bring it back to the UK.
Absolute psychopath.
Yeah, absolute psychopath. Yeah, and he trained Dr. Asher.
Well.
The irony is that Boris Johnson's mother died at St. Thomas's after she'd been in the Maudsley, and Sargent had worked at both hospitals, psychiatric hospitals. I'm not saying at the same time that she were there, but I think Stanley Johnson was born at St. Thomas's. I might have got that wrong. It might be somebody else within the family. But and Boris, when he got ill, supposedly in 2020, went into St. Thomas's when he came out looking like he'd just been reprogrammed, like he'd been electrified.
Yeah.
I mean, the synchromistic overlaps and connections are just insane at this point. And I'll be raising some of this on Saturday at the event, drawing parallels between the Beatles and Rosemary's Baby, the movie, Charles Manson, Sharon Tate, Roman Polanski. All of these different facets just tie into each other in so many intricate binding ways. And you eventually reach the point, well, I do anyway, where I go into the realm of my God videos and start questioning the true nature of this reality and this coded sort of matrix simulation in which we find ourselves, which is what I'm convinced it is, which causes all these things to happen, because I don't think it could be the product of human planning. No matter how nefarious and how dastardly these individuals might be when they sit around tables and plan things, I don't think you can make stuff happen to this degree without being aided by the way this realm is constructed. And I think that's what we're seeing examples of in our work. We find it very fascinating and it's very titillating to look at the information. But I think when you get down to the absolute core of what's going on here, we are discovering the way this realm of existence is made up and what it consists of. And we're just given examples of it, which are fine detail at the end of the day, fascinating though they are.
I think that's what we're finding when we're doing this research. That's what we're finding. We're finding the genetic coding of the simulation, if you like. We don't really know what it means. I mean, if we're not, everyone, I'm reluctant for people when people say, "I know that's definitely that, and that's definitely that." We haven't a clue, have we, really?
No, and I think it's a very responsible thing to say that you don't know. It's far more responsible than to make wild, bold claims that you've got all the answers. Because I'm always suspicious of anyone that claims to have all the answers, because we're all discovering stuff together and on a journey together. Nobody's got all the answers. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that you're still finding your way. I've had to redraw my paradigm worldview at least five times in my adult life. Every few years, I just redraw my entire perception of what reality is and my place in it.
You come back full circle, don't you? In the early days, you become this evangelist trying to tell everybody, and you need to see this, you need to change because we've got to save the world and all this nonsense.
Exactly that, yeah.
I
And
think we've all
then you get.
reached that point now where your mind's just saying, just calm down.
Well, yeah, just calm, just stop because it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, you know me, Dom. I was alien obsessed. I was thinking about this the other day, actually, because I used to rant on about aliens. Because when I was a kid, I saw something in the sky. So I'd read all the books about it, about Area 51 before it was a thing, And I remember when what to call it, Independence Day came out, and in that film, massive Hollywood blockbuster film, they go into Area 51, and I remember thinking, that's not right because this is like secret information. How can they be making it into an Hollywood? And then you realize it's all just part of the method. And I'd
Script,
spent years
yeah.
probably following a script and being psyoped without even realizing it, which was a parallel psyop to the one that was real. You know what I mean? So I'd been dragged in, and then you start thinking, I've been psyoped. I was psyoped with the alien thing for years and years, and I was ranting on to people. There is alien. There is this. There. And now it's on the news. I'm thinking it's probably bollocks, if
It's
you
the
know what I mean.
emergence of new information, isn't it, all the time? That's what causes us to redraw our worldview paradigms, because we come across information that we didn't know 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and it changes things.
It does. Or you knew something 5 years ago, and that added to this new information means something totally different, and you've got to change with it. You can't. That's why I'm reluctant to
Do
get
it.
into the shape of the Earth, for instance, because it becomes like a religion. Because I can't prove what shape the Earth is. I can't prove it because I can't go high enough to look down and back with my own eyes and say, "Oh, that's it." Right? That doesn't mean to say we haven't been lied to. I think I'm on that one now. We have been lied to. But that's just one thing. It's there's so many things like religion, like the God, what is it, 2000 now that you're on?
2026.
That's another one, the religion. I mean, when we're, I mean, being force-fed that at school and having to go to, because my mum wanted to go to Sunday school and I'm bored out of my mind. Force-fed this story, and yet you talk to people about it. I mean, you've seen it firsthand with some of the comments. Oh yeah, I believe that the government lied to us, but not the Bible, not that Bible. Can't do, not my Bible.
It's
Funny that
like,
we.
I know the music industry is corrupt and controlled, but not Pink Floyd. No, not them. They escaped.
And I remember thinking at school, because we went to, it was quite a religious school, wasn't
Yep.
it? And our teacher, who was highly religious, used to kick the living shit out of man.
Yeah.
And he used to think, well, is that right? Is
I paid him.
that what you should be doing if
What
you're
would
highly religious?
Jesus do? Kick the
Yeah,
shit out of you.
get out of shit out of a 10-year-old, yeah. Lovely guy.
Mr. Kimberley.
Yeah, for nothing. Just
Yeah. He had a wig
he
on as well. He used to
had
wear a
a wig
wig.
on, and he used to hit you for walking behind him. We didn't like you walking behind him. Hit you
No.
for whistling. Lots of nice little things like that.
Running.
All these little details that
Breathing.
it hit
Yeah, proper old school, village school, that, weren't it?
At least it wasn't Tony Blair school or Boris Johnson school.
Yeah, it didn't
Yeah,
go that
that
far.
isn't.
The
No, it
torch
didn't
didn't
go
go
that
that far.
far.
All
right, so Ashers. We were talking about the
Yeah.
Asher family. We should probably go back to that. So we
Yeah.
got Dr. Richard Asher, who was a, what was his official job title? Pathologist, was it?
No, he was a. He weren't even a psychiatrist or a psychologist. It was something to do with the blood. Hematologist, I think it was. So he wasn't even a psychiatrist, but yet he looked after a psychiatric ward. And he came up with wonderful things like Munchausen syndrome, which, if you wind on to 2020, was basically hypochondria given to people acting out that they were ill. That's Munchausen syndrome.
Act like you've got it, they
Yeah,
told
act
us.
like you've got it. Which you could see, I can see a lot of the stuff that we've researched in the Asher stuff, or I've looked at in the Asher stuff, being played out in 2020. From a psychological operation.
Like Matt was
In
saying,
real time as you research them.
is that synchronistic mysticism again? Is it a
Well,
coincidence,
it could
or
be.
is
I
it
mean, they
just.
seem to repeat over and over again. I mean, life isn't that difficult, really, is it? You don't if you if you if you if you're all right with people, right? If everyone were all right with, and I know it's, I'm not looking at the utopia because there's always going to be some bastards about that are never going to atone to that. But let's just make it simple. If you were all right with everybody, everything would be all right, wouldn't it? If all that effort were put into positive stuff instead of negative stuff.
Well, just imagine the government says we're going to war with Russia. Everybody says we're not going. We're not doing it. Everyone.
Yeah.
Where's the war?
There ain't one, is
Yeah.
there?
Exactly.
And also, you have to think, don't you? The entire of our nation, if you like, has been propagized one way. Their entire nation has been propagized another one. All to meet on this point where they have a fight. It's and I was actually flicking through. Sorry, just to go on a tangent. I was flicking through Nick. I've been flicking through Nick Colostrum's book, How Britain Started Both World Wars. And it is phenomenal when you actually think of a battlefield in the First or Second World War, when all these people meet and just annihilate each other, and you think the orchestration of getting those people together, all in the right outfits, all with guns, all ready to go, and they just murder each other. When you actually think about it backwards,
Yeah, but Chris, God were on their side. Which side? God knows.
yeah. Both just he hadn't made his mind up who was going to win. But yeah, sorry for that tangent.
All right. I
Yeah,
tell you,
no, sorry.
I tell
Sorry.
you, those Monty Python guys knew about all this stuff because I mentioned this in one of my God videos. But their film, The Meaning of Life,
Yeah.
their third feature film, there's a sequence in there where you have these kids at one of these boarding schools, one of these public schools, you know, like Rugby or Harrow, Eton, whatever it is. And they're in a rugby match and it's really brutal. They're getting the shit kicked out of them by the older boys. And you can only imagine what goes on in the dorms after dark. And then it flashes forward to these same boys now as men, and they're in a war zone and they're getting traumatized, and all these bombs are going off and stuff. They're getting shell shocked, PTSD. And you realize that that experience at school, getting kicked around in rugby and getting abused in the dorms and stuff, was to prepare them for adult life because it was known by the establishment, by the system, that they're going to be experiencing trauma and turmoil and anguish. And it's getting them ready for it because it's just like a given that this is what life consists of. And
Yep.
those Monty Python guys knew about this stuff. They'd obviously been schooled in it. They came from a background whereby they were privy to this sort of knowledge, and they put it into their films. It's dressed
Yeah.
up as absurdist humor, but when you strip away the layers, you can tell that these guys really knew a lot about what the meaning of life is.
You think they were operating in the system, Matt? Do you think they were part of the system, as it
Yeah, I don't think they were doing us a favor by telling us, by saying, look, guys, look, folks, look how ridiculous society is. I think they were fulfilling sort of revelation of the method and,
Yeah,
you know.
because that I know you've played that bit, the transvestite bit in Life of Brian. I mean, that is too close. It's right on the head of what's going on right now.
1979, and they're talking about what's going on in 2025. Was that a lucky guess, or did they
No,
know?
yeah. Even the backwards and forwards, all right, we will do, you know, the whole sketch just
The whole argument that they had there, or conversation.
Those guys know.
Yeah. And
Actually, just bringing it back around again, we're going off at so many different
oh,
tangents here.
sorry, it's my fault
I
that.
think the reason you are called sheep farm, or should be, is because when you go off on a tangent, you need a shepherd's crook around your neck to
And a sheep dog. And a
pull you
sheep
back in,
dog.
and a
Yeah.
sheepdog. Yeah,
That's why
exactly.
Mr. Kimball used to slap me around. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to get punched as well.
Well, I'm doing it as well, going off at tangents. But one of the characters I want to mention in the presentation on Saturday is John Peel, the BBC Radio 1 DJ. Real name, John Robert Parker Ravenscroft. So another posh public schoolboy. And he was put out there as a sort of champion of the people on Radio 1. He played all these independent underground bands that never got any radio airplay anywhere else. And he was a hero and an icon because of that. But when you look into his background, he's got some very suspect sort of affiliations. And he actually attended, I think it was Shrewsbury College with Michael Palin of Monty Python at the same time. So you know how Fatboy Slim, Norman Cook
Keir
studied
Starlin,
violin with Keir Starlin at the same school? You find it with John Peel and Michael Palin. They were in school together, and just connections of that nature.
it does come it, again. You come across it all the time, where a lot of these people go to school and all of them become famous in different roles.
Was it was the was was the Monty Python, the Cambridge or Oxford, Mark?
They were both. There were a couple
Footlock.
of them at Oxford. I think Palin and Jones were at Oxford, and Cleese and Chapman were at Cambridge. I'm not sure where Eric Idle studied, but they were Oxbridge. They were Oxford and Cambridge.
Because then in the 80s, you had the second movement, which was like the likes of Ben Elton,
Yeah,
Rick Mayall. They were
the
all
young ones.
Cambridge, weren't they? They were footnotes, Alex Sale, and
Footlights.
they
Yeah.
footlights, sorry. And they changed the movement of comedy as we knew it, literally.
Alternative comedy, yeah.
They brought in the old, you know, they got rid of the old version of
Morecambe and
stand-up.
Wise out, Little and Large out, and these guys were in.
Ben
They were.
Elton, yeah.
I mean, Ben Elton's a very funny guy, but I remember hearing him talking about the nonsense.
Ben Elton is a cousin of Olivia Newton-John,
Really?
whose father was an MI6 officer.
Really?
Well,
But
there
then,
we go
not a
again.
plumber then.
But
We're off
then
again.
look at Blackadder. That had so much truth in it, didn't it? Really, alternative truth. I mean, he wrote a book about First World War. I remember seeing him interviewed about it, and he said what got him interested was when he found out that the bullets that they gave him, a lot of them were wooden, so they were useless, just to get him on the battlefield. So Ben Elton, wherever he is, he was bringing some truth to the table.
They do tell us truth.
Yes.
It's just a question of whether it's for our benefit or for our mockery.
Just to mock us, yeah.
Or so we can't make the claim that we weren't in some way told.
There's a lot of truth in this simulation or whatever it is that we got to decipher out. As what did Churchill say? The truth's got to be hidden by whatever, a shroud of lies or whatever it were called. A bodyguard of lies, that were it. And so when you watch the news, where better to hide the truth than in the mainstream news that we wouldn't believe?
Right.
There are elements of truth in the news, or the newspapers. They are telling us what they're doing.
More think truth in fiction, I think, fair.
And fiction, yeah, as
Yeah.
well.
Not
We've
much of it in
been
fiction.
talking recently about the Matrix films, haven't we, Chris? How, again, like Monty Python, how far ahead of the time even the first Matrix was. Right on the money. Right on the money.
Still talking about it now, aren't
Yeah. I mean, what a film. It was a brilliant film.
You
And I'm
come
not
to
into them.
realize that everything's inverted, and if you want the truth about what goes on in the world, watch a movie or a TV show, because that's where it is. You're not going to find it on the BBC Evening News. The BBC Evening News is where you find wild fantasy and imagination that you would expect to find in movies, but it's the wrong way round. There's no truth there.
I mean, obviously, going back to Jane Asher, she was in, it wasn't a film actually, it was a production, a studio production of Alice in Wonderland. And she's got the same gene line as Carol, Lewis Carroll, back to Edward III. Just another coincidence. She just happens to be in the same film that he wrote twice. She was in one in the 80s as well. She was actually in a film or a TV special of Alice in Wonderland.
Nice segue back to the Ashes there, Dom. That was very slick.
Again, why is that Alice in Wonderland so prevalent in everything? Even The Matrix, down the White Rabbit, even we say rabbit hole. Why is it so prevalent?
Why was that obscure book that he wrote in the 1800s? Why is that now such a big
Constantly
influence?
remade, redone.
You could ask the same of Catcher in the Rye and MK Ultra Mind Control Trigger. They just seem to home in on certain stories, and they're used as templates for mainly mind control programming, societal mind control or individual mind control. But certain stories just get used for that.
I mean, if you want to go total wacky, you would look, if you look at society, you would say there are people like us, if you like, probably 5 whatever percent of the population. You've got the NPCs, and then you've got the psychos. And outside this realm, you might have some other entities controlling whatever's going on and writing the code or codes, whatever. And maybe the psychos can't get out of this place; they're locked in forever. Who knows? I'm making this up as I'm going along. And they'll try. It's like they're at war with someone else. They're trying to infringe their poison on us, but they also can't escape either, because
They're
there's
the
no
agents of the Matrix construct,
Agent Smith.
I feel. They're doing the bidding of the architect, whatever force set this place into being. They're the gatekeepers to ensure that things tick along here the way they're supposed to. And
And
that's
we're
why
not.
they get on so well. You know, they're psychopaths, they're maniacs, but they get on just fine. You know, they get the job done, and that's
As
because
Hale and
they've
Pace
aligned
said,
themselves
we
with the
are the
way this place is
management.
coded.
Hale and Pace, weren't it? We are the management. That's what they are, aren't they?
I always think of it as, well, recently I started to think it of as the fruitcakes that run the show. It's like a farmer, or say you've got a village in Yorkshire, and there's six farmers there, and they all look after animals. You've got one who loves his animals, even though, loves them and he cares for them. I mean, we've been around these people, haven't we, Dom? And then you've got one who's a bit of a psycho, didn't really give a shit about them. But the end goal is they always slaughter the animals, or cull the animals, or keep them down, inject the animals. Some of them like them, some of them not so much. And the farmers will argue with each other as well. The more egotistical one will want more sheep or less sheep or whatever. But they'll argue, and that's how I see them. The people who run, if you spread that on an international basis, is that how they see us? So we are cattle, but they don't mind some of us. Some of them quite like us, and they want to be nice to us. But the end goal is always the same.
Well,
Sorry,
that
that was
statistical
my view.
breakdown you did there, Dom, where there might be 5% of us, or 5 to 10%, and sort of 5% of psychos, and then there's a huge group of NPCs in the middle. It feels like there's a battle for the minds and the souls of the NPCs between our group and their group, the psychos. We want to win the NPCs over to our way of thinking, and the psychos want to control them and enslave them. So we're all after the NPCs.
I suppose. I mean, I would say that I think our group's getting smaller, because if you're locked into a dogma, for instance, any dogma, whether it be religion, and I hear people who are into this stuff are into religion, which I struggle with that part. Once you believe you're in any belief system, as far as I'm concerned, that's what we haven't got in common. Because I'm not in any belief system. I can't believe in anything, because you don't know what you're in. And so there's a very small amount of people that will accept that. And like you said, Mark, everything's moving all the time. This year, this might be where you are. Next year, it might be something totally different. If you're in a religious dogma, for instance, and you can't move out of that next year or the year after or the year after that, you're stuck in it. So there's no way you can think 360 degrees at all, because you've got this dogma stuck to you.
I'd love to be in a religious dogma. We're a nice, beautiful blanket, comfortable quilt. But
So I would say there's even less of us. I think in 2020 it muddled it up a little bit, because everyone was sort of fighting the same fight, weren't they? We
it
didn't get
felt
want to get
great, didn't it?
yeah, it
When I was
did.
out on those marches in London in 2021, it was just amazing. The spirit of unity and so many people, a million plus people. It really felt like we were going somewhere, really felt like we were galvanizing some sort of movement and adding to our numbers. And we did for a time, but it all fizzled out.
Well, it fizzled out, and then what happened is, like a bad relationship, if you like, the honeymoon period ended, and you started seeing that these people weren't actually like you are. You're not like them. So all of a sudden now, well, we're not as aligned as I first thought. So I'll start calling you names and saying you should be into everything that I'm into. And we're finding that. We are finding that.
I suppose in those times, a lot of those people that were marching for freedom were marching for the freedom to go to football and go shopping at B&Q on a Sunday. That was the freedom that they felt they were losing, which was not necessarily the value that we might have put on freedom and what freedom is. And once they got to go back to football and B&Q, they were happy enough going back to their old lives.
Nobody likes traveling as much as me, and I know you guys do. But I was prepared never to go away again. I'd have to stay here.
I didn't think we would
And I
ever
didn't either,
leave these
ever.
shores.
Yeah, I didn't think we would. I thought that were it. But and no, no, I mean, I don't want to sort of bring the conversation down, but it is, we are a very, very small proportion of the population that think that we were having this sort of conversation with Mike. 360 degrees, no politics, again, another dogma, no belief in religious groups, no dogmas at all. How many people do you know that have got no belief structure in their life? Very
Yeah,
few, isn't it?
not many.
And we know, because we get you get grief even from your own, the people that watch or listen. You get grief from them because you've mentioned something that they're not into. So all of a sudden you're off the table because that one little thing.
Well, you've got a big shill mic.
Big chill, Mike. Yeah. Bullshit platform.
Tick.
Tick.
Do you
Just
know where
wait
that
till you
came
bring your
from?
book out, mate.
Yeah.
You wait for the insults you'll get them. He's just in it for the money. He's just trying to peddle books.
Yeah.
It's all to come.
Do
Yeah.
you know where that came from, the show, Mike? He was someone put
Someone wrote in, didn't they?
yeah, and
Yeah.
said they've got everything, the shills, because they've got a big show, Mike, tick, merch
Yeah.
shop, tick,
Yeah.
a
They actually
number
said
of other
tick, didn't
things.
they? They
Yeah,
actually
he
said
said
tick. They put a
tick.
tick inside of each one. Tick, merch shop,
You
tick.
should be
Came out
living
of
on the street
nowhere.
in a
Yeah.
soggy cardboard box, screaming your podcast into a 35-year-old dictation machine. That's
Yeah.
how you should be doing it.
The strange thing is, I'd still be doing this anyway, membership or not. It wouldn't make any difference.
Just wouldn't be as organized.
Well, no, it would. It'd still be organised, wouldn't it? But yeah, I don't know. It's a weird situation, isn't it, that we find ourselves in? Grand Theft Auto living.
Yeah, because I don't think any of us ever planned to be doing this. I certainly didn't. I
No.
never imagined I'd be doing this with my life. And even this God stuff that I'm doing now, I never planned to go down that route. It was
No.
just a spontaneous thing. January 24, I thought I've got some thoughts on my mind. I want to get these down on video. Did it. Then I thought, oh, I think there's another video in this. That's God 2. Here I am on God 17.
Yeah,
And a
but it's
lot
an
of people seem
interesting
to find value in
subject.
this stuff, but I never planned to be doing it.
It's a fascinating subject, though, Max. It's overrun all his lives for forever, hasn't it? And now look what's happening with the Pope. It's all still there. It's all still going, and it's run all his life. And but you've got to ask yourself, because I find religion fascinating. I've always been interested in it. But to put all your faith in a book that's been reprinted and retranslated by man, and decided to take some books out of it and make sure that that's the original copy, the
Not
one
just
with the
man, Chris, controlling man,
controlling
powerful
man.
man, yeah.
Yeah.
Not Pumas.
Well, you think back in the old days, it was the monks had the control of the Bible, didn't they? Because no one else could read. They didn't want everyone to read it. I don't know how that came about, but they had control of this thing, and then they decided that some of the books weren't right for it, so they took them out. But some of them were all right, so they left it. So it's been tampered with. So you can't be dogmatic about it. You have to question it a little bit, even though there might be some truth in it at the core, you know.
You want to know what books were taken out. They're the ones you want to read because you
Yeah,
want to
I've
know
got one.
why they were taken out. It's like when you used to have
got the
those
Enoch
cat
one here.
food
Yeah.
ads and it was like, 9% of cats prefer, or 99% of cats prefer it. I want to know what the
What's the
1% of
1%
cats
eating?
had to say about it. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah. What's he eating? I think
Mm.
it's somewhat like, I mean, I mentioned this recently. The Ethiopian Bible's got like 80 odd, it's got loads more books in it. I might actually get a copy of that, the Ethiopian Bible. Apparently, it used to be the St. James one, but that's
Bob
been
Geldof
tampered
will have
with
one.
now. But that's been tampered with now. Yeah. It's a fascinating subject. but you can't put all your eggs in that basket. It's insane. I mean, from where we are, right, humans don't belong on this realm. We're destructive. We can destroy everything. We harm everything. We don't, we're the odd ones out. We've got to live in a house that's warm. Oh, we've got to live in a house with air conditioning. We've got to have clothes on. We don't look like we belong here. A cat doesn't need that. All the other animals just survive in their natural habitats. We look like we've been
We have to
put
change
here.
his environment, don't we? We have to change his whole environment to actually survive. No, no.
We're
They
in
could
a
use
bird cage.
beavers do. I think that's about it. That can damage the ecosystem by changing the environment.
We and I thought that since we were a kid, that we're just the odd ones out on this place. And we catch animals, we corral them in, we put them in barns and stables, and they'll just be happy wandering around eating grass or catching mice if you were a cat or whatever. We're talking about the
At one point we were, yeah. So
Yeah.
Shepherd's Crook back
I
again.
was thinking that you do need that big
We
shepherd.
got on to Dr. Asher, but we
Might
didn't
need an
get the whole
electric
thing.
prod.
Yeah. So possibly let's talk about Jane and Peter then. What do you know about them?
Well, Peter's an interesting character. Peter Asher's brother, Chris.
Can I just say, I heard you mentioned Peter and was that? Do you remember the Peter and Jane books when you were a kid?
Well, I looked into them because I thought that as well.
Of
So
course, of
we're
course
on the same
of
sort of
course
mind.
she does.
But they're not based on them. I thought bloody hell, that'd be amazing if they were based on them.
Peter Ash is like the prototype for Austin Powers, isn't he? Looks
Yeah, it
just
was.
like him.
Well, the strange thing that came out, George Martin, I got the impression, because he was a bit of a ladies' man and quiet, wasn't he, George Martin, I think. I know he had an affair with his first wife and they split up. He had a child with her, and he would having a bit of a getting funky with his secretary, I think. Anyway, long story short, I wondered whether he was having an affair with Margaret Asher, and she wasn't that much of a looker, in fairness to him, Margaret. She looked a bit angry, but
Angry Bird.
Angry Bird. Yeah, whether she were having an he were having an affair, because it were around that time, and could he possibly be Jane Asher's father?
Well, she was teaching him, what was it, oboe?
Oboe. Oboe again. Oboe. Everyone likes playing oboe, don't they? Queer
Giving
Starling.
her some oboe.
Giving us some oboe, some elbow grease. another word. Another, giving us some wind instrument training, or in some wind instrument training.
We're getting into Carry On film territory now.
Yeah, we are getting into Carry On film territory. But and he was really pushy about Paul having a relationship with Jane, or the other way around. He was very supportive of that. Which,
I mean, one way or another, it seems like Paul and Jane's relationship was arranged. It wasn't organic. And I guess that's down to the bloodline thing because both of them had important bloodline connections.
yes, yeah.
And they don't let them go with any old riffraff. They want them going with one of their own kind.
Well, that, do you know, in that research, there were so many Masonic lodges that were attached to Jane's mother's maternal ancestry, the Elliot family, and her other ancestry, the Cornwallises. There were so many, but they weren't just that they were Masons. They had their own lodges named after them. So there's the Elliot Lodge, the Cornwallis Lodge. There's the let me get this, Gordon Lennox Lodge, the Gordon Lodge. All these, there were about seven lodges named after.
Yaxley Lennon
Yeah,
Lodge.
the actual Lodge. He's the next god, isn't he? That is the one that they're championing next, I think. Mr. Yaxley Lennon. Anyway.
In relation to John?
N well, I don't know. So they weren't just Masons. They were high up Masons, head of the Scottish Rites and things like that. She's also related to T.S. Eliot, the American, who's linked to the CIA. And Bertrand Russell. And Bertrand Russell, I found out this week, I don't know if you got one of them million emails I sent, Mark, but Bertrand Russell is a cousin of Margaret Elliot. And Margaret Elliot and Bertrand Russell used to go around to Wimpole Street, and he was the one that told Paul McCartney about what were going on in Vietnam. And McCartney passed it on to John Lennon, who became this peace activist.
Proper Matt Sergiu territory, this, isn't
Well, yeah.
it?
But Bertrand Russell, I found out this just this week that he's a cousin of Jane Asher or Margaret Asher. Direct cousin, you know, they actually share the same descendants, so they're actually a first cousin, if you like.
One thing I've noticed is that the really interesting bloodline stuff often happens on the mother's side when you take a celebrity. You know, the father often has connections into the world of the military and expressions of the establishment, but it's always on the mother's side that you get the ancestral aristocratic links going back to royalty and such. And we're getting that with Jane and Peter Asher through Margaret Elliot.
A lot
More
of the
interesting
times,
bloodline than Dr. Richards.
Well, another tie-up is that, and it was probably in the part two that that I write. Richard Asher's bloodline goes back to Frankfurt, Germany. Yeah, his mother was called Stern, and he goes back to Frankfurt, Germany. But his uncle was a world famous cellist, Leo Stern, he was called, and he played for Queen Victoria and the American presidents as well, and the Astor family and the Vanderbilts, as you do. No doubt they'll be inviting you around to play some records at some point,
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
at a wedding or something.
Of course.
Yeah, but he was a world famous cellist,
Bar
and
mitzvah, maybe.
yeah. But then I found that again, this is this week, he married someone called Suzanne Adams, who's was one of the founding, related to the founding fathers, President John Adams and John Quincy Adams, the presidents of the US, and T.S. Eliot. She's a cousin of T.S. Eliot's. Brings it back around again.
And I mentioned there was another Susie Adams who was married to John Phillips of the Mamas and the
That's
Papas.
correct, yeah.
And John Phillips co-curated the Monterey Pop Festival in 1967 with Paul McCartney. Although, if you adhere to Mike Williams's replacement theory, by that point it would be the new McCartney, this guy, William Shepherd, Billy Shears. And a couple of weeks ago, as part of my ongoing world tour, I was on the Kintyre Peninsula in Scotland, did a gig in Glasgow on the Saturday night. And then on the Sunday, I took a drive around the Kintyre Peninsula, which is very remote, very rugged. But this was a place that we're told Paul McCartney loved. But if you accept that McCartney was replaced, it was the replacement that loved this place so much. Although nothing is clear cut because, McCartney supposedly bought his farm on the Mull of Kintyre or close to it before the fabled car crash of September 66. It was earlier in 66. So if you accept that's when the replacement took place, then the original McCartney had his farm there and then the new McCartney took it over from him. But what's far more plausible for me is when you read the memoirs of Billy Shears, this book that Mike references a lot, which purports to be the tell-all autobiography of the guy that took over the role of Paul McCartney, William Shepherd, known as William Shepherd Campbell. The Campbells are one of the principal tribes of Scotland. You have the Campbells and who are the other prominent ones? Muck something or other. But the Campbells are a very important tribe within Scotland. And what is the name of the principal town on the Kintyre Peninsula, close to where Paul McCartney had his farm? Campbelltown. So wouldn't it be interesting if he really was a Campbell by ancestry and he was a Scotsman named William Shepherd? And that would explain why in his song Mull of Kintyre, he talks about having these ties to this land, which he loves so much, which is in his heart. So the original Paul McCartney was from Liverpool and he was of Irish descent, we're told. So why would he feel so much of an affinity to Scotland? But if this new guy was a Scotsman, then he would.
Yeah. And if you take Jane's genealogy all the way back, she's related to the kings of the Kingdom of the Isles, which is they ruled over Kintyre. And also, they ruled over the Isle of Sodor, which was in Thomas the Tank Engine, which Ringo Starr did the
Written
narration
by
for.
Ringo Starr, yeah. Couldn't make it up, and you don't have
I always
to.
thought that was curious in Mike Williams's work, the bit about the standing stone in that farm. Matt, there was a big standing stone there. That was curious. What it meant, I don't know. I think you toyed with the idea that maybe original Paul were under it. but who knows? And also, wasn't Paul Mac 2 a lot taller than Paul Mac 1, and he
Which
towered
one?
over Jane Asher. So,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, there's pictures of Jane stepping out with Paul 1.0 and Paul 2.0, and Paul 2.0 is markedly taller, noticeably taller.
Yeah.
And
Which.
Dom, have you come across the idea that Jane herself was replaced as well?
Yeah, Mike sent over that video, and I've watched it before because I think that lady was on, I forget what she's called now. I think that lady was on Mike's show about 2 years ago. She was a music teacher, that lady. That's why she picked up on the music of the Beatles. Very interesting. Might be an interesting guest, actually, Mike, for you.
Yeah, I've seen some of her stuff before. Can't bring her name to mind right now.
Yeah, very interesting. Research, a very interesting angle as well of research, because she comes from a classic, I think a classic, if I'm right, I might be wrong, classically trained background, and that's how she picked up on how it would, how they were different, the sound of him were different and whatnot. And but yeah, I have come across that. I don't know is the answer to that. It seems strange though, because the later pictures, all the freckles have gone from her arms. So one thing I noticed, that Jane Asher had lots of freckles when she was younger, on her arms, upper forearms and what have you. And if you look at later pictures now, the recent ones, she's not got any freckles on her arms.
What a mind fuck.
Yeah, I know. But I did see it. I sent Matt a video actually earlier from the 1980s where she was being interviewed. I'll send it over to you, Mark, see what you think. She was saying she couldn't. The interviewer asked her how she got into acting, and she said none of her parents were into that kind of thing, and she can't remember how she got into it. It was a bit of a strange, honestly. It was a strange conversation. Bear in mind, she lived at home with a guy who'd been trained to do it Manchurian style hypnosis, right? And she couldn't remember certain aspects of it, and she looked blank as well. Maybe it was me thinking too much into it. But there again, we've been right before.
As well as baking cakes, she got into writing novels.
Yes.
And I remember in my second musical truth book, I carried the story of how in one of her novels, she had the story of this woman who comes to discover a terrible secret on the part of her husband, i.e., he's not who she thought he was. He's like an
Fucking hell.
imposter, right there in one of her books. And there's a head wound that figures as well, like a really traumatic head wound, which is supposed to be what happened to the original Paul, if you go with the car crash theory. His head was cracked in this accident, and
Yeah,
it's right there
well,
in one of Jane's novels. So is she trying to tell us something through that?
maybe that's why I had to replace her.
maybe, but yeah, well, again, the Tara Brown story is an interesting one because he's actually related to the Elliots, if I remember rightly. I haven't got my notes here, but so he was actually related to them. He's a cousin of theirs.
And his story, What Happened to Him, is said to echo the myth of what happened to McCartney. And that was immortalized in the lyrics to A Day in the Life, the Beatles song on
Yes.
the Sgt. Pepper album.
Yeah.
He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed.
Yeah. I mean, it's feasible. They were both friends, heavy drug takers at the time. Is it feasible that both of them were wiped out in that one accident there? But the Tara Brown story, we're going to cover that in part. I'm going to cover that in part two. That was an interesting find. That they're not that they're related. I mean, you can't make that part can't. When you discover this stuff, like Matt, you know, Chris, when you discover it and you lift that rock up, and you think, why hadn't that been told in somewhere that they were related? Why wouldn't, going back to what you were saying, there is parts where they are actually telling you that people are related to royal family. It's nothing unusual, but why wouldn't they tell you all these people are related, like Peregrine. Peregrine, what do you call it? Peregrine Elliot, 10th Earl of Elliot, or whatever it is. He took over the Salt Heap Beatles merchandise, and he's a cousin of Jane's.
Right, that would have cracked that fan.
Loads of peregrines in my school.
Yeah. There's loads in Sheffield, Falcons, Kez. yeah, I mean, these are all. it's gone past being odd anyway now. It's gone past being odd, being a coincidence.
It's normal to us.
Yeah,
you
it's normal
to
us,
uncover
yeah.
something like this every day.
That's the strange thing. But do you know, if I looked into my life, or your life, Mark, or most people listening, you would never find anything like this.
Turnip pickers.
Turnip pickers, yeah. 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 You'd never find anything like this. And the Ashers have got... I mean, just to know that Richard Asher was trained by someone who went to discover MK Ultra is enough. You don't even need to find any more after that, do you? He went to study MK Ultra in America with the CIA. There's another story to that, I think, as well, that I found out the other day, that the guy that jumped out the window, Lieutenant Olson, came to Britain to work with Sergeant, William Sergeant. So he was on, what do you call, release from that program, because obviously Sergeant had gone over there. He came over here. And he told them, he would tell, apparently, he'd spilt the beans and opened his mouth too much, told them exactly what was going on, that it was terrible, what were happening and all this. Maybe he signed his own death warrant by letting Sergeant know that he didn't like what was going on. Anyway, but yeah, so...
Almost feels like MK Ultra was actually perfected on these shores, coming out of Tavistock or Central Middlesex Hospital, whatever it was, and then exported to the CIA and rolled out in America.
Quite possibly. I mean, it was doing a lot in Canada as well, weren't it? But they seemed to like going into psychiatric wards and destroying people who were already ill to start with.
Yeah. A bit like Jimmy Savile going into the spinal injuries ward of a children's hospital.
Yeah.
Where they're all bedbound and can't move
yep.
in the first place.
Yeah. God, can't, yeah. yeah. But he's a...
Happy podcast, this.
Yeah.
Do you think when they...
Light
think
and when, elevated.
You've got to ask the question, when they laid these paving stones, do you think they meant for people to be discovering and talking about at this point in time?
I don't know. I mean, the Savile case is very puzzling to me because they could have kept a lid on that if they'd wanted to.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they protected him from scrutiny for decades. Our mate Queer Stalin saw to that.
And William Hague, apparently. But anyway.
Could have brought him to justice, didn't. So they could have maintained his legacy. But for whatever reason, that investigative reporter, Mark Williams Thomas, was it, who did that documentary, was allowed to lift all these stones up and uncover Savile's true nature. And it just makes me wonder why they did that when it wasn't necessary.
I think
maybe they did want us to know.
I think it's a celebration, me, Mark. Personally, I'm not saying I know that. It seems to me like it's a celebration because he's always lauded as England's most prolific paedophile. But can you name any? And you know, there's a few kicking around, but you can't name that many incidents. What I mean is, I reckon he's a darker character. They've just given us a surface level darkness of that character by labelling him the most notorious paedophile, but I think that's a celebration of what they achieved, what he achieved as a, I don't know, child gatherer. I don't know whatever the hell he was.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's darker than what they've told us. But do you know how many stories do you know about Jimmy Savile, Dom, Mark?
Well, I've heard a fair few.
Yeah, there's not. But what I mean is, there's not that many, is there? Is there? I'm not defending the fucker, by the way.
No, I've heard loads, actually.
Yeah.
Right. But not in comparison. What I think what Chris is saying is that there are other stories out there, like the lost files that Jeffrey Dickens gave. Who was it, Leon Britton or the other guy?
Yeah.
And there are probably bigger stories out there that should Ted Heath and people like that. You know, why aren't they throwing Ted Heath dead? Why aren't they throwing him under the bus?
Yeah. You got a glimmering mention. And as I've said before, and I remember reading the article, Ted Heath was a paedophile, but not a satanic one.
But
that were it. It was gone. It were over.
That would disappear into the ether, that.
Yeah, not on the news, just in the paper.
Oh, well, if he weren't satanic, Chris, there's no problem. Come on. That's right.
But, I mean, Mountbatten were the same. These people are out there. Why aren't they throwing those under the bus? Why Jimmy Savile?
He was chosen for a reason, wasn't he, to be that guy, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And internationally, people refer to him as Britain's most, you know,
notorious,
notorious paedophile. Yeah.
Yeah.
P. Diddy trial went live this week, so
did
hold on to your hats there.
Yeah, my wife told me it went live.
Going to be another nothing burger, I'm guessing.
throw a few low-level names under the bus just to create the impression that something's being done.
Yeah, that's true.
Let the big ones off the hook.
What happened to the Epstein files? Do it there.
Trump's gonna release them. Bobby Kennedy.
If it's on, it's on TV. It's on TV. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it
I always
sounds
think of
is.
that. I always think of that bit in The Shining. You know, where he's driving with his son and his missus, and they're going up towards the house, and they're talking about some cannibals in the thing. And you know, Jack Nicholson's like first, and he says, "How do you know?" And the mother goes, "How do you know about that, Danny?" He says, "I saw it on the television." And Jack Nicholson, "Don't worry, honey. He saw it on
Hear that, Wendy? Hear it
the
on the television.
Don't worry, it's side on the television. I always think of that, you know, especially through the 2020 nonsense. Don't worry, it's side on the television. It must be
What
real.
is Stanley Kubrick new, eh? A whole load.
Yeah, exactly. Who was that character? Good guy or bad guy, Mark? In your, you've done loads on him, haven't you?
It's kind of like Monty Python, I think. He was charged with revealing all this stuff and putting it into his art. But not necessarily to uplift and inform us.
Yeah.
Absolute genius, you know, his work was a masterpiece, but was he on our side? Yeah, that's the main question.
Well, I mean,
But again,
only
was it designed for us to unravel it
unravel.
now? Because it's so deep, innit? The stuff in them films are so deep.
It
I mean,
really is.
even.
And decades after he died, researchers are just piecing all this stuff together now and discovering things that nobody else has found before. All these years, it's incredible how layered his films were.
So on the surface, The Shining, especially The Shining, just looks like a very basic 80s horror film when I first watched it.
Yeah.
And then now, bloody hell.
It's gripping enough in its surface narrative before
Yeah.
you realize that there's about five or six layers below
Yeah. Yeah,
that.
the one you did with the guys who had the Amazon release. I mean, I've watched that film loads of times. I had a poster of it on the wall, the weird kid I was,
I
but
used to call you Black Nicholson
you still do.
because of his hairline. It's good being bald. You can take piss out of everybody.
I have to give you credit for that. It's one of your better insults. when I tell people that, I do get the better laughs. But when you pointed out the scene in the bar, and that woman's got the guy who did the video, Mark, she got a bloody handprint on her dress.
Yeah, on her
I've
arm.
watched that film so many times, never noticed the bloody handprint on a dress. You
Unless
know?
you know to look for it, you are going to miss it. Unless you're particularly looking at that woman's
Yeah.
ass when she walks past. You might be,
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's so easily missed.
Yeah. Never, ever know. I mean, I noticed, I think we mentioned this to you before, but I saw a guy do a video saying that he makes eye contact with the camera over and over again all the way through the film.
Yeah,
Never
for a
noticed that.
split second.
Yeah. Bizarre. Just adds
But again,
another layer
people
to it.
now are armed at home. I mean, even with my rudimentary knowledge of how to put like a little thing together, you know, I can now zoom into these images and see stuff that I wouldn't have been at. So if you're actually trained and you've got better eyes than I have, or
Yeah.
that sort of way of thinking, look what you can do with all this stuff now, just at home
But Fatty,
in your dungeon downstairs.
just as we reach the point where you can unravel things in your dungeon, a visual, you know, art forms, wherever. Now you can't believe anything in the last few years. You can't believe anything you see now. So
Yeah.
that's kind of defunct that kind of research, hasn't it, in a way, I suppose.
Well, this is one of the things that Mike Williams talks about when it comes to old photographs and footage of Paul McCartney. Because I said to him some years ago, Mike, you know, I've got a bit of a problem with the fact that when I look at some very early pictures of Paul McCartney, he does look quite like the guy we've got today. And then in the 60s, you had the rounder, sort of chubbier face guy, the shorter guy. That when he was going out with Jane Asher was clearly a lot shorter than the other guy. And he looks completely different. So, is it possible that the rounder, chubbier face, shorter guy was inserted for a period and he was effectively the imposter or the replacement? But the one we have today was the original Paul from day one. And Mike always says, well, you know, you've got to appreciate that they can doctor pictures and footage now. If you're looking at it on the internet, you can't be sure that that's an original piece of footage. You can only be sure of it if it's in print form and it's from an old magazine or book from that time period, from the 1960s, which is
Yeah,
a fair point, I suppose.
if you've got a hard copy as well, because
Got to be a hard copy from those times.
yes, yeah.
I'll have to have a look actually, because my wife's mum's got loads of old Beatles things because she was an old Beatles fan. She got like an old Life magazine and numerous books that were produced in the 60s. She's got the original ones. I leaf through them every time I'm there, down at my mother-in-law's.
Well, you terrorised her last week because you told her we were going on mics and that the Beatles were a made-up band, didn't you?
Possibly made a mistake bringing it up, but I said, we're talking to a guy next week about Beatles. I was always a massive Beatles fan. I said, there's a bit of a conspiracy around it. I didn't mention the Paul is dead thing. And I said, she said, oh, what's the conspiracy then? I said, well, it was that, I thought to start low level. And I said, that they were a manufactured band and they weren't as organic as what we've been told. Oh, that's nonsense. I had Beatles wallpaper. No, but
Saw it on the television.
Sorry, on the wallpaper. But and I repeated myself, and she went, "Yeah, but I had Beatles wallpaper when I was I don't," and I said, "I don't understand the relevance between what I'm telling you is not true and you having Beatles wallpaper." But she wouldn't let me she wouldn't let it go.
Mickey
But
Teller
that's how they get.
Peregrinelli came up with that Beatles wallpaper. And he was because of the Jane Asher.
But this is how they get people. Lou's mum, my missus' mum, bless her, she's emotionally attached to being a child. She's now in her 70s. She's emotionally attached, and I didn't want to go on about it too much because she's
She's
not.
emotionally detached.
It's kind of not fair, is it? To an extent, though, is it? To go on about it and start telling her about the freaky shit we talk about.
No, it's not fair. I've got lights going out there, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of power cut there. Talk among yourself, fellas.
Yeah,
Your computer's still on anyway.
your computer's still on.
Yeah.
Well, there is still that,
Yeah. We can still see your red knuckles from your microphone.
But the attachment, this is another thing, like you were saying, though, Dom, I don't have any attachment to anything anymore. I'm happy to
No.
let anything go.
Well,
You
I've had
know,
to
I
let
was a
so.
massive film fan, you were a massive
Yeah.
sports fan.
Yeah.
We've just
You,
realised
you,
everything's a
you,
shenanigans.
yeah, for entertainment, it's fine. But once you start, it's a dogma. For instance, Man United are better than Liverpool, and Liverpool are
Yeah.
all knobheads, or Man
Yeah.
United are all not. Once you get to that level, right, then you're too deep in.
Well, I worse. I used to, because like I was into films and art and whatever. This is. I think I actually remember saying this. Oh, that's a very important film. No, it's not. It's just
No,
a film.
yeah, it's not that important,
It's
really.
not important.
No.
Or you say the same with football. It's an important match. I
Yeah.
love saying that. Why is it important? Because
Yeah. Because
we're doing
they've
it all
got.
again next year. It's not
Yeah.
important, is it? It
Yeah.
doesn't matter.
They spend billions on winning a cup.
It's a slice of enter. The thing is, like you said, there's nothing wrong with watching it. It's a slice of entertainment, and that's what you need to accept it is. And
Mark
it's not
hit on it
important.
before. I'd actually said this in an early video going back 5 years ago. It's just war games. All sport is. They say it's fitness, but it's just war games.
And to keep us squabbling
The
as well.
competition,
I was
yeah.
saying to you, I've heard of people, oh, Tottenham supporters are all dickheads. I don't watch football myself, but. And I said, why are they all dickheads? Oh, because they're just dickheads. What, the old, all of the Tottenham supporters are all dickheads? How does that work?
It doesn't
How
work,
have
does
they
it?
managed to turn you against an entire group of people that you've probably got loads in common with because you all go and watch football on a Saturday? Shouldn't you be embracing it instead of hating each other? And anyway, bloody hell.
I'm the one sitting in a darkened dungeon now, by the way.
Yeah.
That's because you're always teasing Dom, that is, Mark, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of
Yeah. I won't call it karma, but the coding of the Matrix has come back to
Poetic
bite me on the
justice.
ass.
It'll come on now.
Oh.
About 25 lights will come on when I turn the
Yeah.
power back on.
Like a floodlight. Thunk.
Yeah. Has it
Ving
tripped?
Rhames and Bruce Willis up in the back.
Yeah. Has it tripped?
No, the bulb has just run out. That's all.
Right.
Just
I didn't think bulbs ran out now. I thought they had them things that burn the top of your head off.
Well, it's not one of those toxic ones
Yeah.
where if it ever breaks and you have to clear it up, you have to burn the clothes that you're wearing. The official advice actually said this when those light bulbs first came out. It said, mop up the floor and mop up all the glass and then burn the mop, burn the bucket, and burn your clothes. What
Right.
could possibly go wrong?
Can I just
Yeah.
have a different light bulb?
Can I just have a light bulb with no mercury in, please?
Or use one of the old ones, which were
Yeah.
fine in the first place.
Yeah. They were all right. The old ones were all right. They didn't
On a
need changing.
slight side note, but not a drag me back in
I think we're already gone,
with a
Chris.
crooks.
The
Me and my
shepherd's
missus,
over there
Shepherd's
somewhere.
Crook.
Yeah.
Me and my missus were watching, when you have them old Top of the Pops on TV. We were having dinner, just watching a bit of old Top of the Pops. And it was 1984, and they showed what's his name? You told me his name over there.
Don't know.
The guy who used to wear a patch on his eye. You spin
Captain
me
Hook.
right
Oh,
round,
no.
baby. Da, da,
Not Pete
not Cap.
Burns, Dead or
Yeah,
Alive.
Pete Burns. Yeah. So there was that. This is 1984. Then they had Divine, who was a transgender, if you remember. Big guy dressed as a woman with the classic tranny makeup on. But what I was saying to my missus is, we didn't hate them, did we? No one cared. No one gave a flying shit. It wasn't even up for a conversation. Even on that Top of the Pops, it wasn't mentioned as a conversation. But now it's a massive,
Well, people used to
divisive
go
fight.
to Benidorm to watch transvestites in Benidorm.
Yeah.
They weren't fighting them, and they weren't,
No one
you
cared.
know, nobody cared. I mean, it's not my thing, but
No, but I was
people used to
watching it
doing
and it
that.
brought back a memory and I remember seeing it at the time on Top of Pops. And at the time, thinking, that's weird. I don't really care. I didn't care though. Whatever.
I remember going to Thailand in Phuket down Bangla Road. There were
He's a
tons
dog.
of them. Tons, yeah, there were tons of them. I mean, you could tell, like, because they had big
Oh,
hands.
I was
They were
chasing tons of
and they were called Mali.
Oh, pursuing tons of them. Sorry, my fault. I took us off script again.
So
we were talking about how Jane got into baking cakes. Yeah, around about 4.5 hours ago, we were talking about Jane and her cake line. And there's another of these crazy synchromistic sort of matrix coding connections there to do with cakes, right? The baking of cakes. So talk us through that one,
Well,
Dom.
the strange one was when we did that thing with Mike the other day, got a load of it. Oh, the ancient tribe of Ashers and stuff like that. And I'd already got that for part two, to be fair. And they were all bakers. So Asher was the son of Jacob in the Bible. I think it's, don't quote, I'm not an expert on the Bible, so I'm not even going to go down. I think it's Genesis.
As in Jacob's crackers.
Yeah, Jacob's crackers, yeah. He was bakers, his followers were cooks and bakers. And then Jane Asher becomes Queen of Cakes.
Always think that that cake job, when you become a famous TV baker or famous, it's almost like you've been handed a cash cow in it because anybody could do it, really.
Like Linda McCartney with her vegetarian
Yeah,
sausages.
still going. Yeah. Still going
Massive
now.
business, is that,
Linda
wasn't it?
Shears, as I call her.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Linda Shears, yeah. But yeah, the links back to like that. Also, Annie Lennox, she was part of the Lennox aristocracy, the Earls of Lennox, which Jane Asher is also part of that line as well. All these daft little synchronicities keep popping out. Who else did I find? Christa Burr, she's related to Christa Berg, Lady in Red. Jane Asher made a horror film, didn't she, with Christopher Lee, were it? Not Christopher Lee, the other guy.
Peter Cushing.
No, but it Peter Cushing. No, the no,
Oh,
who's
that's
it?
the other guy. I don't
No, there's three. There were three of them. Who's
know. Boris Karloff. Vincent
the other
Price.
guy? No, yeah, Vincent Price.
Vincent
That's the
Price.
one. Yeah. And that was something red, wasn't it? Anyway, she's related, definitely related to Christa Berg. And so was.
Christopher Berg's music is a horror film.
Yeah, yeah. He's got Angry Birds eyebrows, hasn't
He has, yeah.
he?
Original Angry Bird.
I think it was Richard Branson. He's related to the De Burghs as well from Ireland, and he's got the Virgin Scarlet Lady, hasn't he?
And he looks like a horse.
And he looks like an horse.
And he's got an island.
Yeah, he looks like a national winner. Yeah, he's got a weirdo island, and he's got a lot of planes.
And
Yeah.
as P Diddy's trial goes live, he's currently crapping himself.
I think a few people might be.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I think a
Maybe.
few people might be crapping themselves.
They probably
Yeah.
are, yeah.
Just
Cancel the
thinking of,
laxative order.
yeah. Thinking, am I going to be the one thrown under the bus this time?
Yeah. Are they going to be Rolf Harris'd?
Yeah. I had a friend when I was one of my first chef jobs, and I always told the story even before the Abbott went into the shit show. And her auntie owned a pub, I think it was down near Wales or somewhere, like a guest house, B&B. And she said she used to go and visit when she was young. And she goes, oh, he used to be there all the time playing the piano in the guest room, Rolf Harris. And none of the girls are going to hear him because he was a bit touchy-feely. That was, I guess, 1992 or something? No, sorry, I tell a lie, 95 or something, 96? Yeah,
You
way
know, there's
before.
three songs that you're never going to hear on the radio ever again. Jonathan King, Let It All Hang Out. Cliff Richard, The Young Ones. And Rolf Harris, Two Little Boys.
And Gary Glitter, do you want to be
Oh,
my guy?
actually, Gary Glitter, I'm the
Yeah,
Leader of the Gang I Am.
That one as well.
Oh, do you want to be in my gang? Oh, God. Creepy. Creepy focus.
Yeah. But a lot of these people seem to be created in these type of schools, as we find it. Sort of listed several main the signs, if you like. And it's not just about bloodlines. So going back to that first, we'll come back, circle back around about it's not just about the bloodline. There has to be several other things involved, like trauma and things like that, that entice, Masonic links and links to secret societies and things. It's not just about bloodlines, links to intelligence agencies, military, all that kind of stuff. No utility workers. No
Like
links to that.
Matt was saying earlier about the comes from the mother's side, and you think of Princess Di, don't you? And Boris Johnson's mum. Are they like some
Well,
kind
Jane
of?
Ash is also related to Princess Di.
Oh, of course she is. But are
Yeah,
they some kind of,
who the lady in red was written about.
as Lady Di said, I feel like a brooding mare. Is that what they are? Just brought in for
Yeah,
the for some
totally.
bloodline.
She knocked the nail on the head there. That's what she was. That was her role, just to produce heirs, sons and heirs, And then she was past her sell-by date and had outlived her usefulness.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because when I was when it happened, when Lady Di, for instance, I was on the not on the side because I didn't really care, but I thought she was a nutter. But that's how she was being portrayed through the TV. She's the nutter, even though she came out and said they're gonna try and kill me in a car crash. Still, nobody listened.
Got that one
It's
right.
still a conspiracy.
And
And she
Prince
was.
Harry's upset because his father's no longer talking to him, but King Charles is okay. No, I fucked that joke up, didn't I? Harry Hewitt, yeah, sorry. I'll edit that one out. I can never tell a joke.
It sounds funnier when you get them wrong.
I disagree. I disagree, can't tell you. I thought your stand-up was very funny down at the Rise Buffet. I thought it was
Yeah,
really
you wouldn't
good.
know it now, though, would you? No, to be fair, I am new to the world of comedy, so I do have a bit of homework to do still.
Yeah, I think the art is not to try and be funny. I know it sounds mad that, but you just be yourself. In
Yeah,
any, yeah,
I think you pulled it
yeah,
off quite well. That is
yeah. I
a
do, yeah.
Well,
That
it
Sean, was
works
it
okay at the
Sean
cinema.
Locke? Sean Locke, he was funny, wasn't he? And it was that type of humour. He
Yeah.
was very funny.
Sean Locke died, didn't he? Yeah, in
So
his
yeah.
40s, he wouldn't hold at all.
No.
Is that the old tap, do you think?
I can't
I think he
remember
was
his right.
pre-tap. I think he was before
Yeah, I
that,
think he were
wasn't
ill before the taps came.
I think he died before, in fact.
Yeah.
Might be
No,
wrong.
it was 2021, I think he died,
Is
because
it?
or 2020 in 2020. Yeah.
Right. He told
Um,
one of the funniest jokes I've heard anyone come out with very quickly, where someone said to him, what's the scariest thing you could ever see? He said, waking up and seeing a zookeeper going. That was
Jack
pretty
D
good.
was the real deadpan one, wasn't he?
Yeah. Wasn't as funny as Sean Lott, but he was all right, wasn't he?
Yeah,
He was all
different
right.
styles. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're probably circling around to wrapping up here, I guess. So, any further points to add, or any aspects of your research you just want to bring to people's attention
You know,
before
there's
wrapping?
that much. Sometimes it's just nice to have a chat. There's
It
tons.
can be, yeah.
It's just endless, isn't it? Like you, well, you know that. That's why you're on how many podcasts now and how many books. It's just
Well,
endless.
constant world tour.
Yeah,
Have you been
constant world tour.
watching? Have you been watching? Hey guys, I know Don Watt was. I don't know if you watch it, Matt. Have you been watching Black Mirror? Have you watched the new spurt of those things?
No, I watched the
About.
first episode of the latest season, but to be honest, I find those just so dark and
They are
dystopian.
very dark. One of them, me and
I
Tim.
know that they're telling us the way that society is headed, and it becomes terrifying when you realize that this is not fiction. This is coming from somebody that knows the way things are going.
And also, I can't believe, even though I used to lie, I can't believe that Charlie Brooker has written all them. And every one of them, he's the writer. I can't believe all those shows have come from one guy. I find it quite impossible to believe. Because he used to be quite alternative, didn't he? And then I remember in the 2020 nonsense, no mention. He even did a show about it, but on the side of, it's all a fact. This is what's happened. We're in the middle of this, etc. But I was watching, I watched one of them the other day. And in the middle of it, they're on about a woman who's had a child with a guy. And she says, oh, what was the guy? He says, what was the guy like? He had a child. He goes, oh, he was a bit of a crazy conspiracy theorist. Then he died of COVID. And I thought, what a little, just that little nugget just thrown in there. You know, it's on Netflix, it's on the Charles Bonnet's Netflix, but just thrown in there. And I don't know, I kind of thought better of that show than to be that. I don't know, it was a bit disappointing.
We were getting stories in the press like that, you know, a conspiracy theorist has died of COVID. And then people in the chat thread would say, poetic justice.
And then some of those pictures were, you know, defamed, weren't they? Because it was always a guy with a ventilator in a bed, like, this is a
Eric Draper
conspiracy.
one.
I think I've actually got a little montage of pictures. I think I've
He's
got a
going to
little
appear
one.
in the book, Mr. Draper. I mean, that story, that Derek Draper story, was, I'd say, the most interesting one out of that 2020 for me. There were a lot of stuff in there, but that,
Straight out of Tavistock.
yeah, straight out of
Crazy
Tavistock.
motherfucker named Derek. Derek D.
Yeah, Derek D. No, Dolly. He was called Dolly, wasn't
Big Dolly D.
he? Yeah, Big Dolly D. Straight out of Tavistock.
It's a strange story, isn't
Motherfucker.
it?
Yeah.
But again, that when I remember you going through that, I had some synchronicities that I don't know, that went right back in history that were just bizarre, weren't they? Do you
Yeah,
remember?
like her family were, she was part of the, oh, let me get this right. It wasn't a Masonic lodge, but you know, like, it was the drapers, you know, like making curtains. Her family belonged to a group that were part of the
Guild of
Draper
Drapers or
Society.
something. What's it
Draper, yeah,
called?
Guild of Drapers or the
Guild,
Draper
that's it. Yeah, when you
Society or
have a
something like
guild.
that. And it was strange. And Garraway meant something like throwing a spear or something like that. But
Yeah, there's
that's
some
actually
odd.
what it meant. It was just strange things that.
See, I used to think that this would amount to nothing more than satanic mockery of the spiritual ignorance of the masses, as the social engineers would have seen it. But I'm really starting to come around to the idea that the forces of this realm conspire to make these things happen. You know, the coding causes it to happen. Because I think we can give the so-called elites too much credit and just imagine them to be these masterful chess players and skillful on top of their game at all times. I don't actually think they can be
No,
that
I don't think
clever.
they're that good.
Yeah.
I, it's very easy to be good when you've got the whole power. It's very easy to be
Every resource
given.
at your fingertips.
Yes. You, if you, if you're given that role, like Jeff Bezos, for instance, to have one of the biggest companies in the world, whose granddad ran set DARPA up and ran ARPA, and that invented the first internet. What are the coincidences of you having the biggest internet company? That it just like music, it can't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Selling a few books, you've been given control of that to tell everybody not to use fuel and fossil, well, so-called dinosaur fuel.
It reminds you, like, you know, in the first, when America was first discovered, and you know, when you read the Fritz Springmeier book, and you know, one family got the fur, one family got the gunpowder, one family got the mines or whatever. They all got given different little things as a reward, I suppose, for doing as they're told. But just going back to Kate Garraway, I saw on TV she won Great British Bake Off, and then has now got her own interview show. So she's been rewarded for jobs well done, I think,
Yeah,
for stuff
it
she's done.
means spear fighter or spear war, Garraway.
Right,
I had
yeah,
to
so
look it up, yeah, in Old English.
but I just remember there being some really weird, because we were looking at each other like as we were going, what?
Yeah,
What's
there are so many
the
different things that would, again, like most of this research, it's like Kintyre and things like that with the ashes and what have you. It's all these synchronicities that just seem to happen at random points, but they can't be random because there's too many of them, you know. It's either coding that's been written and it just keeps throwing these people into this situation.
Was a
Because
group of people around a big pot with hoods on going, oh, it all just comes into fruition.
yeah.
I'm sure it is coding that's been written, but it's not any hooded figures or social engineers sat around a boardroom table writing it. It's
No.
the architect of this realm and
Yeah.
whatever force
Or
put it into place
architects, yeah.
just writing it.
Yeah.
But
Fascinating.
maybe the main reason we're here is just to see through it. That's his point. If you see through it, then you can move on to the next bit.
Well, yeah.
If you
I
can't,
always,
you're going back, you mother fool.
yeah, what would happen without our, you know, like, I'm not about us three, but people like us questioning this shit. If there were none, if nobody ever questioned it, and there were just the NPCs and the people, the psychos, if you like, what would actually happen? You know, are we written into this code as some kind of balance, some kind of buffer?
I don't know. I've often wondered what it is about people like us that think to ask these questions and stick our heads above the parapet and put information out of this nature. We were all inspired by other people, you know. David Icke got me going in the game, and obviously Icke was inspired by other people going back. And thankfully, as you say, there are characters who are prepared to question the status quo. But it just becomes a case of each one teach one, pass it along, you know.
But when you look back, though, Matt, the seeds were always there. You know, we were in, you know, everyone's inspired by other people and things, but the seeds were always there from being a kid, I would say. Probably.
But going back to, say, our village, I know five people.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
Within our village, right? In fact, I could add Mark Bajerski to that as well, because he lived in our village for a while, who question all this stuff.
Yeah, five or six, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's only ones we know.
They're only ones we know that we kept in touch with or just met up.
Then going back to our school, I know three more from our school, plus the five in our village, three more from our school. And that area was a bit of a UFO hotspot. And I saw one down the fields in our village. So it was... I know I'm sounding crazy now, but...
Not that you think there's green aliens in them.
No, whatever it was, whatever the thing that we saw in the sky, was that something? Was that maybe balancing things? Was it... I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows? It just becomes a case of asking the questions.
We're programmed with the flip coin of the psychos, if you like. Because at 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm down here doing genealogy on fucking M&M, right? Nobody's telling me to do it. I don't get paid to do it. I'm just doing it, you know? Yeah. We are the flip side of the psycho. Okay.
Their curse is to be these aristocrats and banksters and so-called elites.
Yeah.
And our curse is to be poor wretches like we are doing this sort of research. Yeah.
I do notice most folk, I've noticed it since we've been doing this, that most folk are, even before they went and did things like this, they got slightly obsessive characteristics.
But you could very say creative that about psychos. As well.
Not creative, though. Not creative. I'd say most people we've spoke to, fact, they've got some level of creativity and obsessiveness. A little bit of, they were obsessed with something, and then they've moved that obsessiveness over to the things we do now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, do know what you mean. Yeah, we're aiming it in a different direction.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, it's something that the psychos couldn't see. They won't understand why we'd not go along with the program.
No matter how many times I say, right, I'm gonna have a day where I don't do anything. Doesn't happen.
It's a bit like your podcast where you say, well, we'll wrap it up there, and then 2¾ hours later, you wrap it up.
You've just done that, Matt.
I know. It's been a bit like that.
Yeah, it has been a bit
raining
like
in that shepherd's crook many times.
Yeah. It's not worked. Say you need an electric buzzer.
Electric fence.
Got no fucking light here now.
Yeah, you have gone dark there. Yeah, it's eyes and teeth now.
Yeah. All right, we probably should try and wrap up there. So
Matt,
we've got the event
at
Pennine Manor in Huddersfield this coming Saturday, if people catch this recording in time. Other than that, we're there on the 5th of July with John Hamer as well. But I think that one's sold out as well, you were saying.
Yeah, they're all sold out, yeah.
Wow.
Should we mention the other thing?
Reputations precede us.
Yeah. We're looking at doing one in London, aren't we, Chris?
Yeah. Hopefully us three. Yeah.
Late September.
Yeah. Late September. If anyone's interested, email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk.
That won't sell out by the weekend.
Interested in London gig, no one can put you on the list.
Sheep Farm down at Smoke.
Bloody Londoners.
That the big Smoke.
Yeah. I spent most of my life in London. Never lost the accent for whatever reason, because I still keep talking this donut.
You're talking like this by now, Chris. All right,
sadly. Well, his missus is from Croydon, so it's all fucking apples and pears, isn't it?
It's full on South London.
Jelly Hills, Cottagers of Wilkes.
His daughter, who was born here in Cambridge, she's got like a neutral southern accent, and she takes a piss out of both of us, mainly my missus. Mm. She's quite amusing for me.
Yeah. I'm glad she takes piss out of you, missus. Proper walks and gene.
So we'll leave it there then. So you got your new episode coming out this Saturday, as you generally do. New episodes of Sheep Farm drop every Saturday, right?
Yep, every Saturday. on the bullshit platform with the Big Chill mics.
Exactly. And the portal for that is sheepfarm.co.uk.
Yeah, just sheepfarm.co.uk.
Stop shop.
Yeah. Okay, we don't mention the shop because that's the shill shop.
So you don't get out on the road quite as much as I do, but people might catch you at the odd gig here or there.
Yeah.
You never know.
No, never know. I think John Hamer's over in St. Anne's, but it's like 2 hours away. I mean, I came over to see you over there once.
You did,
I think,
yeah.
A couple of years ago. But yeah, it's 2 hours away. It's like bloody 1 o'clock in the morning to get back, way past my bedtime.
Yeah,
I need to be doing it down here at 1 o'clock.
Down
in
the dungeon by then.
Yeah.
All right, then. Thanks for coming on, guys. Catch
no
you
worries.
Again
Cheers.
Soon.
Pleasure. Yeah.
Privilege.
Cheers. Good night.
Always a pleasure.